Welcome to Get a Life Balanced, where we share real tips how to make, not find, time for those you love, those you don't, and yourself. So let's welcome your host, author, and speaker, Cheryl Nicholson.
Hey, I hope you have an umbrella today, because we're going to talk about umbrella living. And no, it's not raining in sunny Florida, and I don't know if it's raining at your place, but once you get the hang of this umbrella living, I guarantee you, every time you see an umbrella, it's going to remind you how to get your life balanced. There's some quality of life tools that will make a distinct difference in balancing your life, and they work really best when you can take your time management tool and look back over a full week's worth of work. We've talked about creating your own TMT, and mine tends to still be paper, but maybe yours is on your phone. I don't care how you use it, but it's a great idea to bring it with you and think about what you've been doing in the last month and see if you can use any of these techniques to work under the umbrella. Everything I do in life, I try to divide into two different categories, umbrella living and nibbling living. We'll talk about nibbling living later. And when you do the same, you'll quickly realize that you wasted a lot of time this week simply because you didn't apply one or both of these techniques. So are you ready to learn? Well, let's take out your umbrella first. Now, if it was raining outside and a group of you, including me, were going to go get to the car, would you just put yourself under the umbrella or would you include me and others? Well, if you're generous, of course, you'd put as many people as possible under that umbrella. So to use that metaphor, I want you to look at your time this past week and ask yourself, what two things could I have done under one umbrella of time? There's a question for you. What two things could I have done under one umbrella of time? You're going to find business and personal examples of time wasted because you didn't work under the umbrella. So I'm going to give you a few real life examples of ways that you can work under that umbrella, and I always enjoy sharing successes. So if you want to include yours, just send me an email and we'll be glad to list it. Also, don't forget the Facebook fan page. So here's the first thing we're going to talk about is meetings. One of my clients works in the Parks and Recreation Department for the city, and before learning this technique, he'd block a full day from his calendar to visit the 8 parks to divulge confidential information to them. Now, taking my class, he stated, wait a minute, I could have done that under one umbrella of time. So he went back to his office the following week, applied it, and called with the results. He told me that today he only blocks 2 hours instead of 8, and he brings all 8 park managers to his office with lunch included. He has freed up 6 hours in his calendar. So whenever you hold meetings, in order to be time efficient, maybe these few rules will help you. Here's the first one. Never have a meeting just to have a meeting. You know, those ones who go, every Tuesday, we're going to have a meeting. Why? Because every Tuesday, we have a meeting. No, don't do that. You need to, number two, have an agenda and give it out before the meeting because it allows people to get prepared. Number three, delegate some of the work reports before the meeting. This allows more participation during the meeting, and it also allows you to see who rises to that occasion. It also helps you see who you can develop as leaders in the future. Number four, have a start and stop time and adhere to it. I've talked to many managers, which we don't tend to like to use. We call them team leaders instead, who have certain types of jars where there's money penalties. If you show up late, you pay $1. And at the end of the month, they use that money or contribute that money or buy pizza with it or something, but they make a point. Now, I also have some D-type clients, and we'll talk about Ds later at another session. These are the drivers, the CEOs, the people who would rather tell you what to do than ask. And they have another way of starting and stopping on time. They lock the door. If they say the meeting starts at 9, if you're not in there at 9, the door gets locked at 9:01. So I don't know if that would be a very good tool, but that is one that other people use. Here's another idea, tip number 5. When questions are asked that don't have immediate answers, delegate that task out and then send a memo out with all the answers. There's nothing worse than having somebody ask a question and never getting an answer to it. Back in the old days, bosses used to think that they had the answer, and if they didn't have the answer, well, then you just didn't even need to ask the question. But today, at information at our fingertips with Google and information at our fingertips with being able to pick up the phone and call the people that do have the answers, if someone asks a question, say, you know, Jeff, I don't have the answer for that. Diane, would you research that and get that answer back not only to Jeff or all of us by the end of the week? Here's another tip. Don't allow conversation hogs. Make sure that everyone has the opportunity to speak. And when we talk about the people puzzle and the D's and the I's and the S's and C's, you know that the C's are not going to be assertive and communicate during these types of meetings. They're listening, they're thinking, they're analyzing. So just because the person is a talker doesn't mean that the other people don't have something to say. Make sure you have the right kind of communication skills to slow that person down and give everyone an opportunity to speak. Another tip, delegate someone responsible for keeping the meeting focused using an acceptable catchphrase like getting back on track, or we've lost direction, or stop the madness. If you delegate someone responsible for that, then that helps everybody recognize in a nice and happy and friendly way that, wow, now we're talking about our vacation, or we're grumping and complaining about not getting a raise, or you don't want your meeting to be off track and last 2 hours when it was supposed to last 45 minutes. So if you've got a great catchphrase, everybody gets it, you can drop that topic and get right back on focus. So those are some really good tips. When we come back from our break, we're going to talk about how to read under the umbrella. See you in a few minutes.
In need of some business balance, perhaps more customers and more profit. Get a life balance works with Peak Reputation, a full-service marketing agency, as do many other businesses through effective and unique social media techniques, website search engine optimization, mobile and text-based marketing, blogging, and online reputation repair and management. When your business needs to grow, count on Peak Reputation to help accelerate that growth. Visit peakreputation.com or call 727-282-4001 for your free strategy session today.
Hey, welcome back. Umbrella living. Boy, isn't it a great way? Have you been thinking about different ways that you can live under the umbrella? It certainly has changed my life in getting my life balanced. Now, one of the things I get as a speaker is magazines. I'm sure many of you, even though you do online, you're probably getting books and magazines, especially something that is catered to your particular industry. You may have a stack of journals somewhere that needs to be read. I bet you do. So here's a way to get to that by working under the umbrella. Purchase a canvas bag large enough to hold a 3-ring notebook. Then get plastic sheet protectors and your reading stack. Take that bag and put it into your car. And then it comes out of your car wherever you're going, somewhere you feel like your time is going to be abused. So where do you think it is the most common answer that I get in all of my audiences? Yep, the doctor's office. That's the number one response I get, no matter which state I ask that question. So to reduce your stress and not focus on whose turn it is next to see the doctor, or why did he get in and I didn't, I know I was here before him, take out your reading bag instead. Now, some of you might take a train to work, and this would be a great place for your reading bag. Recycling can then be done at the daycare center or the school along your way to work. I actually found a county recreation center that loves my magazines and newspapers for the papier-mâché classes they teach. And I feel like I'm contributing something back to the world without it costing my precious time or sometimes when I lack some money. So it's a win-win situation for all concerned. I met a business traveler on a plane to England one day, and I was incredibly frustrated that the plane was delayed on the runway for hours. And then watching this little busy bee intrigued me, so I finally asked, "What are you doing?" And here's what she said. "Oh, these planes get delayed all the time. I've just written 3 friends, paid my bills, and balanced my checkbook. And we haven't even left the ground." Now that's umbrella living at its finest. Now you may not, I can't remember the time I wrote my last checkbook, but I can certainly check messages, and I certainly could write friends and pick up postcards. So when you're prepared with a reading bag, there's all kinds of opportunities of things that you can do under the umbrella of time. Now let's talk about exercise. Yes, that nasty E word. You know you need exercise. I know I need exercise. And I love my biggest excuse. I don't have time for exercise. I'm too tired to exercise. I fell into that trap for years. I felt like I had that as a legitimate excuse too. I mean, I travel for a living. I run to and from airplanes. I'm away from my family already. Why would I want to walk in the door, give kisses, and then say, "Bye, I'm on my way to the health club to work out"? So I got away with that for years, and I gained like an additional 35 pounds. And then one day, I was reading an article on Reader's Digest by a physician, and he wrote something like this: "I wish my patients would look at the need for exercise that like they look at brushing their teeth. They would never consider picking up the toothbrush and using it for a couple of days and then not picking it up again for another 6 months or a year." Boy, was I busted. I cannot tell you how many gyms I have joined and gone, "Oh, I'm really good for the first 30 days. And then the next 30 days, 60 days, 100, shoot, the next year, I'm not even in there." So he went on to say, these same patients who tell me they have no time for exercise have time to watch television 2 to 3 hours at night. Whoa, guilty on all counts. Well, sort of. I mean, when I am watching TV, I'm doing it under the umbrella. I'm throwing in a load of clothes, or I'm reading my mail, or I'm paying bills, or I'm checking email. But nonetheless, I was definitely not exercising. Then it dawned on me, could I exercise using the umbrella technique? And what do you think? The answer is yes. I don't know why I didn't think of that before. So I went out to the Goodwill store and I bought 2 old bikes and put a little toddler seat on the back side of it. And so I began riding bikes with my daughter on the back. And then my husband and I and my daughter started riding bikes together for 30 minutes, 3 times a week. The result? Quality time with my family, and I lost 10 pounds. It works. Another thing that you can do is create a mobile university. We're moving from the technology age to the information age. And how are we going to be able to keep up with all that information if you need to stay ahead of the competition? Or to be better parents or spouses, getting a grip is one of the most important facets to that jewel. And don't forget the power of the umbrella. I recently read a statistic in Training magazine, and it emphasized that the days of the gold watch are over. In other words, the way our parents worked, they were loyal to one or maybe 2 companies in their lifetime upon a 30-year commitment, and then they got a gold watch. But things have changed. The statistic today says that if you're a baby boomer, you'll have 3 more dedicated careers before you retire. And if you're in your 20s, those of you who have college kids, this is really going to hurt you. All that money you're paying for college, they'll have 5 different dedicated careers before retirement and probably not even use that degree that you've paid for. What that means is your information and education has to be transferable from industry to industry. An expert in one field or industry could be out on the streets if that industry folds. So today, it's imperative for survival to know a little bit about a lot of things. When I was presenting a program on effective presentation skills in the Midwest, I had farmers in my class. Now, do you think they're learning to give speeches to their dairy cows? Heck no, but they were smart enough to know that the dairy industry might not work the same way 10 years from now. but effective presentation skills was a tool they could take with them wherever they went. In fact, companies put that skill on the top of their list as far as qualities they're looking for in their team members. And we've all read and heard that speaking in public is the number one fear of all Americans. So how are you going to be able to learn so much? You need to turn your car into a mobile university. Instead of worrying about traffic, stick to an educational tape or CD. Put in that iPod or iPad. All the successful and prosperous people I know keep some sort of educational material in their car at all times. The average drive to work in America is 22 minutes. So almost every audio or video or podcast created for learning is about 20 minutes long. So now do you see the reason for that? They want you to be able to listen and then step out of your car and put it into practice. Any tool user gets better with practice, and that's exactly why I've created this podcast. I'm doing it in bite-sized pieces so that you can pick up a tip, get just one idea, and put it into practice. Create an educational library with friends or coworkers. That way, you're sharing the investment. I trade programs and books with lots of friends. And please don't duplicate them because that's against copyright law. It just makes me cringe when somebody says, I just came back from a seminar and bought their CD. Here, let me copy it for you. Don't do that. That person worked hard for that information. Go ahead and make that investment in yourself to learn on your own time and in your own way. If you belong to an association, create a lending library there. You might be surprised to learn the dollars it can bring into your club or organization or association by charging a nominal fee. Everyone benefits. I've done this for years. I've created libraries for almost every association, lending libraries for almost every association I've ever belonged to. And it's been something that people recognize me for, and I have a quite unique list of different books that I share. So try that. Try one of these tips and then share with me what's working. If you have an issue or another area that you need help in, don't hesitate to email or send a text to me. You've got my phone number. You've got my email address. In fact, they'll give you additional information in just a minute. Thanks so much for listening. I'll talk to you soon.
You've been listening to Get a Life, Balanced with Cheryl Nicholson. If you would like booking information, contact her at www.getalifebalance.com or email cheryl@cheryl.com. Share your ideas and join her Life Balance community on facebook.com/getalifebalance. Now download the next session for more real tips that work.